vacation with a home equity line of credit or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Surf and Sirloin, still open for business, folks. Carry out and delivery. You can place your order anytime. Pickup is available from 2 to 7 p.m., and the restaurant will personally deliver to anyone within a 10-mile radius. The surfandsirloin.com menu has been reconfigured for couples, packages, and families of four. Check out the specials, including all of their porterhouse, filet, and ribeyes, along with chicken parmesan, grandma's breaded pork chops, fried cod, chicken fingers, and crab cake entrees. Give them a call, 822-3637, 822-3637. Carry out and now delivery from Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Far away from this life that you're living, you'll find a whole new beginning. Rediscover your family, show them you care for the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Russ Patton, your Byerly RV financial advisor. With the stock market gyrating precariously, we recommend diversification by turning your paper profits into something tangible, like that RV you've been dreaming about. Or you can hedge your bets by playing the spread and converting just enough cash to make a healthy down payment. And win either way. Disclaimer, plan fund is no guarantee of future fund if your paper profits disappear overnight.
For the rest of your life.
Check us out at ByerlyRV.com, Eureka, Missouri.
Attorney Margaret Bush Wilson was the first African-American woman to head the National NAACP in 1975 as its chair. She improved the civil rights group's finances and championed youth recruitment and affirmative action. Dr. Helen Nash was the first African-American physician at St. Louis Children's Hospital in 1949, leading the fight against lead poisoning as well as child abuse. Ameren, Missouri salutes Women's History Month and Attorney Wilson and Dr. Nash in helping turn the pages of history.
Celebrate 37 years of lifting local at Club Fitness. We're extending our anniversary offer. Join in March with enrollment of 37 cents. Why lift local at Club Fitness? We began in St. Louis, owned and operated by people who live here. 22 area locations. We've always had your support, so we will always be there for everybody. Start lifting local. Join Club Fitness in March with enrollment of just 37 cents.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
This is Mariah from Newsetters Fine Jewelry, where we offer a choice in diamonds. Mine are lab-grown. We are a leader in offering lab-grown diamonds, which can run 30 to 40% less than mine diamonds. Let us educate you on your options at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
This winter has been pretty brutal. How has your garage floor survived? Do you have new pot marks from all the salt? SealTech Surface Coatings can definitely help. Hi, I'm Megan, owner of SealTech Surface Coatings. We use 21st century sealants, not the old-fashioned epoxies. Our multi-step process is 4 times stronger and 10 times more flexible than an epoxy system, and we get this all done in one day. SealTech can fix those nasty cracks and pitting that the salt leaves behind, leaving your floors not only protected, but easy to clean and beautiful. Do you have a favorite team or company logo? SealTech can put that on your floor as well. We have about 17 colors to choose from, but custom blends are available too. Call SealTech Surface Coatings today at 636-294-6299 to schedule a free on-site estimate with either my Uncle Donald, my dad David, or myself. SealTech Surface Coatings, 636-294-6299, or visit us at stlgaragefloors.com. Let our family take care of your family.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
FM.
To the sunny side of the street.
How much longer till Thursday?
4 days.
You hear a
that was quick.
And that it'll be here before we know it.
Is your step.
Actually,
life can be
it's
so
3 days. One day would be tomorrow, Tuesday. Two would be Wednesday. Three would be Thursday.
Yeah. Wow.
3 days from now.
Look at that. Man.
See? It'll be here before you know it.
Tim, did you think this was Sunday?
I'm not afraid.
It is Sunday.
This rover.
Ooh, you got some pie, huh? Can I have a piece?
Sure.
Ooh, let me have some of that Cool Whip.
What'd you say?
You can't have a pie without Cool Whip.
Cool Whip?
Cool Whip, yeah.
You mean Cool Whip?
Yeah, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're saying it weird. Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it. Cool Whip. You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip.
Say whip.
Whip.
Now say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
And the headache.
It's like when Frank says, what?
You know, we talked about this not too many weeks ago, a few weeks ago, that I never knew until, for some reason, one day I actually stared at a can of Ready Whip, and it's Ready Whip, W-I-P, not Ready Whip. And I never knew that. I never bothered to look at the can. It's Ready Whip.
Yeah.
W-I-P. But most people don't know that. Now, is Cool Whip? It's actually W-H-I-P.
Yes.
Right? It's not Cool Whip. It's Whip.
Yeah.
That stupid routine got me thinking about
Why'd
it.
Why'd you
now.
Put so much emphasis on the H?
Because that guy in that routine did. Whoever
cool,
that was
Cool Stewie.
Cool Whip has a 1-800 hotline on the outside of the cans of Cool Whip.
Uh-huh.
Really?
I called it one time.
As they should.
I said, hey, it's like, hello, Cool Whip. I say, Cool Whip. My name's Tim. All right, I got this naked girl in front of me. I got a bowl of Cool Whip out. I got a spoon. What do I do?
Now, did you just try to interject the police radio into your phone call?
No.
Did I hear?
No, you're the master at that. That's not what.
No, that was.
I heard. Hello, Cool Whip. I heard that.
Yeah. I can't do it as well as you do. It was a horrible effort.
There are two different things, though. One is a police radio, right. And the other is an old-time telephone call. See, but the is only for police radio.
Well, I'll demonstrate. I screwed it up. Okay,
I'll be happy to demonstrate.
Pretend that you're Tim and then calling Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
No, I'll pretend that Tim is the dispatcher. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling from a police car, from a unit, as they call it. There we go.
Yeah. Hello, Cool Whip.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Tim, hello, Cool Whip.
Frank, play along with me one time and say, Tim, what is the key to doing comedy on radio? Ask me that question.
Tim, what is the key? See, that's an old joke, but it's still funny. And then the takeoff of that is, interrupting cow, which is still funny. Now, for anybody who doesn't know that, and Dan pulled it the other day, for anybody who doesn't know it, and we could certainly all use any new jokes we either haven't heard or forgot about, Dan, let's do the interrupting cow knock-knock joke.
Okay.
I'm going to play along like I don't know it, but of course I do know, but I'm going to play along anyway. Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting Move. Cow. So stupid, it's hilarious.
That's one of my favorite knock-knocks.
Have you guys heard about this virus?
What? What virus?
What?
On your computer?
Yeah. No, this coronavirus. It's all over the news.
A beer virus? A beer virus.
Yeah. Is anybody else... This is a stupid thing to say, but... I'm actually tired. I'm tired of trying to keep up with what's going on. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing about it. And I'm starting, like a lot of people, to realize uh-oh, we've only sort of been at home self-quarantining for maybe a week, not even, and we're looking at a month of this, and it's starting to get weird. It just is, because every time you think, oh, well, let's just go out and get something to eat. No, no. Restaurants are closed. Let's just go to a movie. No. Movie theaters are closed. Well, let's just go fill in the blank. Closed, no. closed. Let's just
go to the zoo. Closed. That's about all you can do.
You go outside and look around and go, when is this nightmare going to be over? And unfortunately, it's not going to be over for a little while. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, still, are we on? Wait. I don't even know. Are we on the air? Is the station still on the air, right?
We're considered essential, Frank.
Of course we are.
We bet we are.
Customer service.
You bet we are. That's from the U.S. government, ladies and gentlemen, that what we do is essential.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
There you go. So it's we are on the air, I'm assuming, and until we're told, until somebody walks in and goes, you guys can just stop talking because we're off the air now. Until that happens, we, assume that we're on the air.
A lot more traffic out than I thought would be out.
It was, well, all right, are you being sarcastic or honest?
No,
right now?
No, I'm being straight. I'm being serious. There's a lot more traffic, people driving around.
Because I thought, honestly, that it was really bad today. I was driving down Manchester on the way, and there was hardly a car on the road.
I have not seen one police officer pull a car over in the last week.
I did.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
I did
that.
The other day. Highway Patrol had somebody pulled over.
Oh.
Mm. Rare. You think we're ever going to get to the point in this where they're pulling people over going, where are you going? Just like to make sure it's something essential? Like, are you just driving around?
Nah.
If they make some sort of martial law, won't they then?
Like, it's like a curfew.
The only way I could think they would do that is they would put up roadblocks, like by the highways and stuff. That's the only way I think they could do that, because they couldn't have every officer out on the streets patrolling.
Well, they bring in the National Guard.
I understand that. I'm just saying that, first of all, how would you, what cars would be suspicious? You don't know where people are going. Maybe it's a doctor's appointment. Maybe it's to get necessary. We're out of milk, we're out of canned food, whatever. It's time to stock up again because we don't want to be hoarders. Maybe that's why they're out. So there's no way to know. Maybe it's an emergency dental appointment. Right. So you can't, I guess, just pull over people and go, okay, where are you going? Prove it. You can't do that. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to have to get to that point. But I see now where the mayor, her name is Goodman, her daddy was the mayor, I think, before her in Las Vegas, is starting to throw a fit about the casinos having to be closed. She's butting heads with the governor because the governor just said, across the board, boom, shut them down. And she's saying, wait a second, this is Las Vegas. I mean, if we do that, get ready for this, and here's what's going to happen. And she's, I don't think she's going to win. She's not going to get, I don't think she's going to be able to override the governor.
Think she'll win on this
and
one.
And they'll just have to bite the bullet like so many other people are having to. One other thing, I'm going to do double the business that I would normally be doing in terms of just talking to you folks about advertisers, because I told you last week that I contacted all the people I speak for, and I just said from now through the end of April, I will double whatever it is you're paying for. In terms of commercials, I'll do twice as many. I'm just trying to think of what can we do to keep people going and to keep listeners aware of who's open for business and in what capacity they're open for business. And hopefully they'll all be able to ride this out and stay with us, because that's how we keep the show on the air.
I have a bulletin.
Hang a second.
Well, we need bulletin sound. And now with the bulletin, I interrupt myself to go to Dan Strauss. Dan, where are you?
Thank you so much, Frank. I'm here in the studio.
That's right. That's, yeah,
yeah.
There you are.
Yeah,
okay.
Hi.
Well, what's up?
My bulletin is Saturday morning I was driving in for the yard sale.
You know where you messed that up?
What?
Because normally if I say, Dan, where are you? You go, Frank, I'm down here in the bulletin headquarters of News.
Yeah, like I had it.
Oh, crap.
In the bulletin, ready, in our bulletin division.
Okay. I actually had it ready.
But you blew it. You just show me here in the studio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Maybe we could
do it again. Okay. Edit this all out.
Yeah, edit it out. We'll do it again.
Okay, I'm ready for it. Okay, here we go.
Radio edit.
I interrupt myself to check.
Timing.
Okay, hang on a second. All right, I'm going to edit. I'm going to edit all of this out. All right, don't worry. Yeah, I got
please.
It. Here we go. So we'll come back and then we'll have Dan. All right, so that's what I'm going to try and do. Here we go.
No, radio we'll have edit. Me going to Dan.
Yeah.
Sorry, now I need to edit
interrupt
that
myself.
Out.
Oh,
timing.
All right, let me just edit.
No, edit it out again.
Move. Let me edit this out.
Radio edit.
I interrupt myself to go now live to Dan Strauss. I believe Dan has a bulletin. Dan, where are you now? Right now, where are you?
Frank, I'm in the studio down in our bulletin headquarters.
No, hold on. You blew it. You're not in the studio. You're down in the bulletin headquarters.
I don't know where you are, Dan.
Our news center.
Okay.
You're not in the studio.
News center.
That's the whole point. You can't be in the studio and
in the
down
studio
the
studio.
It's his first day, Frank. I'm afraid. Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
And Dan,
okay.
You are in the bulletin center of our news center.
Okay.
Or the bulletin division of let's call it of our news center. Here, okay. Edit. I'll do it again.
Okay. Now, where am I editing to when we go in?
I don't care. Just
Frank
edit
throwing
anything.
It to me.
Yeah.
Okay, here
anything.
We go. Then.
Willie
radio
Nelson.
Edit.
I interrupt myself to go now to Dan Strauss. I understand Dan has a bulletin. I see he's not in the studio. Dan, where are you?
Frank, I'm down in the bulletin headquarters in our news division.
Ooh,
and or maybe our bulletin division in our news headquarters. But I'm down here right now and driving into the yard sale on Saturday morning, I took a little detour and stopped in at Schnucks about 6:15 and went in and found toilet paper on the shelves. So I bought some toilet paper.
We're turning at least one big corner.
Yes.
In all of this.
There wasn't much there. I have to tell you, not much at all. But I did get a couple of packs of four packs of toilet paper.
He got the last two 4-packs, and there was a 93-year-old guy on a four-legged walker approaching the toilet paper, and Dan walked by him and goes, "Sorry, pal, snooze lose."
Yeah. And then I tripped him.
Give him the old Scott Sherman. Too bad, so sad, old man.
I can walk faster.
Maybe you could have gotten to that toilet paper quicker if you'd had a runner instead of a walker.
And he handed one to him over here. Goes, "Here, you want one?
Psych.
You need some rollers on that walker." It was senior hour.
I'll be doing a little extra. It's no big deal. It won't. It'll change the flow of the show at all. In fact, in a perfect world, we'd have extra commercials to do anyway. So let me start with this one. First Community Credit Union, here's what you need to know. First Community Credit Union is open. The lobbies are not open. But First Community Credit Union is open. You just do your business at the drive-through. Now, if there's anything that you need to do that would require that you go inside. For example, safe deposit box. Yes, go to the drive-thru, explain to the person you need to get in your safe deposit box. You'll park, they'll let you in, they'll take you into the safe deposit box, and there you go, just sort of like you would anyway. And there's pretty much nothing, certainly not much, that can't be done at a drive-thru window that you would do if you walked into the lobby. So I would say to you, relax. There was a story in the news this weekend where some woman went into a bank somewhere and withdrew all. She had $600,000 and she wanted it all in cash. She was afraid the banks were going under. No.
It's like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, well, they're not going under. That's not what this is about, and there's nothing even sort of like that out there, so relax. If you are a First Community Credit Union banking customer, I think you can be extremely comfortable that what you have is still there, and if you need it, you can get it. You can still make deposits, withdrawals, transfer funds. Go online. It's an easy-to-navigate website, First Community. First Community. .com if you want more information. Does anybody have anything to say?
Sure.
All right. Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Moo.
Frank, do you know who Woody Weidenhofer was?
Woody Weidenhofer was the old, hold on, coach of that name. Hold on. It was like Mizzou or something, mm-hmm. like football or basketball.
Whoa!
I'll go football.
Yep, is that good right? call.
Woo. Wow! Was that, I remember that name the way I remember. Oh my goodness, I just lost it, and I can Norm Stewart. Norm mm-hmm. Stewart's name is a name I remember because, believe it, I actually did some work with Norm Stewart, so I know those names, but I don't know much more than that. I can't give you stats or anything. You know?
Woody Weidenhofer was the football coach at Mizzou from 1985 through 1988, and I arrived at Mizzou in 1987, so he was the football coach my freshman year of college, and he passed away yesterday. He was 77 years old, and
that's pretty young.
Well, yeah. He had some strokes, and he was a football coach for Vanderbilt after Mizzou, and he was an assistant coach in the NFL for a while. You know, these coaches, they coach for life. They're coaching everywhere. He only won 12 games in 4 years at Mizzou, but my freshman year there, after he was 1-10, then he was like, 3-8-1 or something like that. His first year, he's terrible, so he's got trying to do something to save his job. And in the old days, college football teams like Oklahoma and a lot of teams in the Big Eight with Mizzou, they would run what's called the wishbone offense, which would be three running backs down in a stance behind the quarterback. It looks like a wishbone on a turkey. And, and it would be like, fake to the first guy, hand it off to the second guy. It was a run-oriented offense. And so Woody Weidenhofer said that he was going to go to the wishbone offense my freshman year at Mizzou. And since his name was Woody Weidenhofer, and his big recruiting slogan when he tried to recruit the top athletes in the state was, come catch a ride on Woody's wagon. That was his big promotional slogan. So everybody started calling his new offense the Woodbone instead of the Wishbone. So I get to Mizzou, and of course, everybody loves to pick on everybody, and everybody started calling me Woodbone.
That's actually not the worst thing a guy could be called.
Well, that's my Burke segment, is because the first five women or girls, whatever, that came up to me and said, why do they call you Whitbone? And I said, well, it's because there's this run-oriented offense that involves three running backs behind the quarterback, and then there's formation of the offense, and he's able to hand the ball off to any of the three of them or take off himself, and they'd all look
idiots.
At me, and they'd all look at me with this very, that was very uninteresting. I'm sorry I asked you that question. Right? And so once I realized that my sports-related version of the answer to that question wasn't going over very well,
That's not what the ladies wanted to hear.
No. Yeah, right. So I decided to simplify and shorten the answer with a lie. Hi, why do they call you Woodbone?
It's because I won a contest.
There you go. That's all it needs to be said.
You don't even have to describe the contest.
That's all it took. Their imagination could wander from there.
Yeah, well, live and learn.
And Woody Weidenhofer has put closure on this Burke segment. They put in his obituary that after his coaching career ended, and he was a miserable failure everywhere he went, that he ended his life. The last job he had in life was as a toll booth operator in Destin, Florida.
Isn't that sad?
Really? Wow.
Which is exactly what I'm going to be doing in about 2 months.
Wow. Toll booth.
He was a toll booth operator. This guy coached in the NFL. He was a head coach at Mizzou and Vanderbilt. And finally, everybody said, you're horrible as a coach. We're not going to hire you as a coach. He's got to do something. So he went and worked in a toll booth.
Man. Wow. Did they like him? Was he well-liked?
He was an extremely likable guy, very personable guy, very extroverted and funny storyteller, and he was a player.
See, that's what makes it tougher. Yeah. If a guy's a jerk and a bad coach, get out of here. But if he's a nice guy, that makes it... Norm Stewart. Everybody seemed to like Norm Stewart, too.
Yeah.
Is Norm still around?
He was the basketball coach at Mizzou when I went there. I mean, he was Norman Norman.
Like stomach cancer or something. I think he beat that then. That was a while back. So, yeah. Okay. Well, rest in peace, Woody.
The Woodbone. It is dead and buried.
The Woodbone. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
The Woodbone is dead and buried?
Well, you're laughing at his death, Dan?
No, I was. He said.
Family's probably listening. Grandkids burst out in tears just now when you did that, crying. Why are you making fun of Grandpa?
Oh, sorry. I was laughing. I was making fun of Tim's nickname when they called the Woodbone.
Right. Sure you were. Anybody else? Burke segment?
Nope. I'm good.
I have something.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
Actually, there's been a lot of funny things on Facebook.
Nothing funnier than the donut one.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been sent that thing at least 30 times by people who goes, hey, yeah, but you haven't seen this. Yeah, I have. About 30 times.
Oh,
it is.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
It is the hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I've seen
that. That is really, really funny.
And you can't explain it to people. I'm sorry, folks.
Yeah. No.
Dan, you know what? Well, with the exception of one term,
A crack hole offers a sexual favor and a donut.
A Monica.
And a donut for a roll of toilet paper.
A donut.
Okay, but it's hard to explain the visual, and Dan, we can't put it on our Facebook page because it's got the BJ words in it. But I don't know that that's a good idea.
He's like explaining and pointing where the girl came from.
No, where she went.
Yeah, where she went. Be on the lookout for her and all this other stuff. And as he sounded like he was appalled by the whole thing.
And as he's pointing to the section of woods where she scampered off after she made him that offer, you see a half-eaten donut in his hand.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you got to see it. It's hysterical. Whoever did, and they did it so believably because when it starts, you think it's a real thing. Because that guy, you heard how he talks, like he lives in the deep in Ozark somewhere. Well, this girl come out. She said, "Hey, I'll give you a BJ and a donut for some toilet paper." When you see half the donut in his hand, you know he took her up on it. It still deserves to be seen.
And he's a hillbilly redneck.
To get the full impact.
He's a total hillbilly redneck. He starts it off with, "Stuff's getting real around here."
Oh, yeah. Except he uses another word besides stuff.
Right.
It's getting real now.
Mm-hmm. Two of my favorites that I liked were, it says, "Sometimes I wonder if all of this is happening because I didn't forward that message to 10 other people." Oh, my God.
If you don't forward this, something bad will happen. Okay, so here's my question. Here's my question for everybody who believes in the may she rest in hell, Sylvia Browns of the world, and Teresa Caputo, who's the heir apparent to Sylvia Brown. Once again, folks, those of you who believe in psychics, the big question, why did no psychic see this coming? This is always the big question for these people who claim, you know, they got the inside track. Really? Not one of you said, get ready for the coronavirus.
You
didn't see it coming.
There was,
because you're not psychic, why.
There was something that people were floating around on Facebook. And I don't know if it's true or not. It's from one of Sylvia Brown's books from 2013 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, what's it say?
And they've underlined it, and it says in the year 2020 that a virus, I don't know what the exact, I'd have to find it. I have it. Mm-hmm. I do have it somewhere that somebody sent me. I'd have to find it, though.
Just give me a gist of it.
It's from her book.
It doesn't matter.
It basically predicts this virus.
But I'll tell you why it doesn't matter.
Thank you. I just needed you to finish the sentence, then I could play that. Sorry.
Go pick out everything else that it predicts that didn't happen. If you throw enough stuff out there, and she's playing the numbers, that every 10 years or so we get swine flu, West Nile virus, bird flu. Okay, 2020 will be time for something to come around again. That's not much of a stretch. Look, the list that somebody sent me, and then I went and looked up an even more extensive list of all the absolute predictions, not maybe, these things will happen. For every one that she was right on, she was wrong on about 200 of them. So, not one of these psychics predicted the Kennedy assassination. Not one of them has ever won Powerball, all right, or lottery, big lottery. Right. You think they could? They're psychic. No, they're not. They're just thieves who want to take your money. So that's, I don't know, this weekend for some reason, I guess I saw Teresa Caputo's name or something. I thought, why didn't you warn everybody, Miss Psychic, about the coronavirus? Maybe because you're not psychic. Was there anything else?
Yeah, the other one that was my favorite, I have one more. This was one of my all-time favorites that I've seen so far. Says, "My house got TP'd last night. It's now appraised at $875,000.
Now that's good.
I know.
That's a good one. And then all the offshoots of that, you can start to conjure up in your head like a couple's with their real estate agent. You know how they'll say, we think we could get them to leave the pool table? You think we get them to leave the toilet paper hanging in the trees because their house was TP'd and we'd like to take it over just like that so we have all that toilet paper. So, Limey, nothing from you, right?
No, I got nothing exciting, unfortunately.
All right, let's close it. Burke's segment is officially closed. Josh Bauman will not be in the studio today. I'm sure it has something to do with not so much coming in the studio and being around anybody, but he's probably just, I'm surprised he could eke out an hour when he's not in meetings. Think of the school district meetings and meetings about meetings, because they're having to learn a new way to teach these kids at home. And that's a crash course for all the teachers just in itself, how to teach a course from a location, and the kids have iPads, and how you're going to test them, and blah, blah, blah. And he's got to help make all that happen because he's the head of IT for the Festus School District. But he says he will carve out an hour by phone. And that'll be next hour where we'll talk about tech stuff with Josh Bauman.
I have that. That was in Sylvia Brown's book. It says, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe. Attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. So that's basically
right there. She's wrong. It's not going to resist all known treatment, mm-hmm. because if what she says is true, it'll just kill the whole world. Yeah. Resisting all known treatment. All known treatment. Okay. Well, that's a vague, generic statement. And again, read her whole book. I don't have to, because I read the printout of all her ridiculous predictions that didn't come through. So here's one she got lucky with and didn't even live long enough to see one of her very few hits that she got lucky enough to stumble on.
Oh, and it says the illness itself will basically go away very fast and then return 10 years later.
She's an idiot. Let me play you. This is from, I'll just play it holding my phone up to the speaker. I'm not going to plug a bunch of stuff in. This should work out okay. This is Johnny Carson from December 19th, 1973. It's a long time ago. Listen to this part of his monologue.
There is an acute shortage of toilet paper in the good old United States. We got to quit writing on it. But I want to tell you, it is serious. I just saw a commercial where, I know it's coming, where Mrs. Olson comes in with a shopping bag and the housewife says, forget the coffee, just give me the shopping bag. I want to tell you.
Now, that was 1973, December 19th. Here's what's interesting. There was no toilet paper shortage. But then there was, because of that joke that night.
Oh, wow.
People didn't think it was a joke. There was a shortage that he caused. Here is Walter Cronkite on the CBS Evening News just days after Carson did that joke. Here we go. Hang on. Oops. Come here, Walter.
Tonight, a CBS Evening News special report.
The Scott Paper Company, citing panic buying on the retail level, said today it is implementing an allocation system for the national distribution of toilet tissue. The Scott spokesman said unfounded rumors of a shortage has caused excessive demand at retail outlets. He added the allocation system is necessary to replenish depleted inventories.
Now, the unfounded rumor, that was a reference he wouldn't say, Carson, because Cronkite was on CBS. They don't want to give Carson any credit for having that kind of power, but he did, and that's what caused it. So the reason Carson made the joke was the Scott Paper Company had put out a press release, and there was a story that they were experiencing a paper shortage, but it was not for making toilet paper. It was some other paper things. So Carson took it and went further and made a joke like there was a toilet paper shortage. Well, there wasn't, and then there was. And Cronkite actually had to go on the CBS Evening News and address the toilet paper shortage that wasn't, but really that was because of Carson. And when somebody sent me that, I don't even know who sent it or if I stumbled on it, I thought, wow, that could have been a monologue for the last three or four nights or a newscast from last night on the Evening News. You know, I had a chance to talk to Walter Cronkite about that incident before he died.
I'll be darned.
And I said, Walter, do you remember the whole thing where Carson made a joke about toilet paper, and the next thing you know, people bought into it and in a panic are buying up toilet paper, and there's an actual shortage created because of a joke about a shortage that really wasn't? And he remembered it well. Here's what Walter Cronkite had to say.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting live from the Kennedy Space Center. Yes, I remember it well because I went to the store and was stuck buying some one-ply tissue, and it really, really ticked me off.
Wow, the great Walter Cronkite.
And that's the way it is.
See? I just thought that was so weird to hear that. I had blood drawn Friday, and I thought, because I made the appointment about 10 days ago.
Did they use a red pen, or did they use, when they drew it?
Oh, my God.
All-time low. All-time low.
That joke gave me a headache.
That's 10 times worse than Moo.
20 times worse.
My mask got so good.
So I went to have blood drawn, as I was saying, and I thought, well, I'll be, even with an appointment, I'm going to be waiting. It's going to be just packed with people because of this. I was the only, it was LabCorp, which is a, you know, like Quest. These are like big. I'm the only person in there. And when I walked in, there were three people behind the counter. One of them was the, what do you call them, the draw blood, phlebotomist or something. And then the one was just sort of a secretarial receptionist guy. And I don't know who the third person, and that's it. Just, and I said, well, this must be, it's my lucky day. And I was there 15 minutes before my appointment. I was out of there 5 minutes before my appointment was to start because it was just me. And I thought that was very strange. Because wouldn't you think right now people would be trying to get all kind of testing, even though I don't think you can pick this up with a blood test, can you? I think it has to be something else.
No, they...
swab of whatever.
Well, they're canceling. They've canceled all, surgeries that are... voluntary?
Elective
surgeries, yeah. They've canceled all those. They called me. I was supposed to have a
breast
colonoscopy.
Implant?
Yeah, a breast implant. And a breast reduction, actually. The older you get, they start sagging. But I was supposed to have a colonoscopy in a couple of weeks, and they called and canceled it. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should get a little reprieve from drinking that stuff.
I know.
At least crime's down.
You know what? That's one thing we've noticed.
Homicides are way down all over the country.
On TV, good. You haven't noticed. Everything is coronavirus, and you haven't heard about any shootings in the city that much. It's really strange.
Well, I mean, that's
no comment,
silver lining.
Because I don't want to be perceived as a gloom and doomer. That's not a silver lining. That's very temporary. Again, why do you think gun sales are through the roof?
Oh,
right,
I know.
Now?
People worried about getting robbed.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at the stores that are shuttered and closed, but there's still stuff in there. There's equipment at the register. There, maybe somebody's got the mindset that, well, they've still got a safe in there. When people start getting desperate, you'll see some crime. And you'll see crime out of desperation. People who need cash. and will do whatever they have to do to get it, wherever they have to do it. Homes, businesses, churches, whatever. So I hope I'm wrong. I don't doubt that right now there's this lull, but it still hasn't sunk in yet. What's happening here? It just hasn't. You have to think of it this way. In your entire lifetime, unless you're 95 years old and went through the Depression, in your life, you've never seen anything like this.
Well, Frank, think back to the time that you like to talk about on the air with frequency of when you and the missus were living in a trailer paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
And you had a time in your life when you were like that. And imagine right. this happening then. How different you would be in terms of it sinking in.
Well, that is what I imagine. And I think about it every day. And I said last week, think of all the businesses. And don't just think in terms of young people, 30-something, that just opened 3 weeks ago. They just opened. They've been working on it for 2 years. Life savings, borrowed everything they could to open their fill-in-the-blank restaurant, bar, craft shop, whatever it is, and they just opened, and now this hits. Never in a million years.
I'll tell you one industry where it's occurring in Missouri right now where that exact example is pertinent on this very day to have that conversation, and that's all the people that have been awarded marijuana licenses in Missouri. All the dispensaries, all the people who put all the money into the grow operations, all the people who put all the money into the brick and mortar places where you can buy it and test it and lab it. I mean, all the millions of dollars. And there's somebody very close to the show who's a significant investor in that business, and we all know who it is.
Now, are you saying that you can't go there to the dispensary?
I'm saying, is that an essential business? Are they going to stay open? Or are they going to be, you know, all the money that the business owners have put into putting these dispensaries together? I know one that's out on Morrison Road. I drive by it every once in a while, and this guy's putting thousands and thousands of dollars of decorations and displays and shelving and glass casings and product and whatnot to be ready to open in a couple of months, and he may not be able to.
Well, I'm going to say he will, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't know about Colorado, but in California, where just like anywhere, pretty much everything is closed, not the dispensaries.
I think Illinois they're as open. Well. I think the
are they open
dispensaries,
for
yeah.
They
recreational?
Are open yes. for recreational
so.
All wow. over California. Not ah! one of them has wow. been closed.
And wow. I think so good in for Illinois them. As well.
Great.
Well, I mean, now, if you have a stay-at-home order, how can you go to work? I mean, that's, I guess... I mean, even a gun shop owner in Fenton in today's paper said he has to meet with a lieutenant in the police department today to figure out whether or not his business is essential or not, because he doesn't know.
Well, I would say, sorry, don't hate me, gun shops, but I don't think a gun shop is essential. Not to me. That's not an essential business. I mean, good for them if they can be open and reap the benefits of this and make money, but I don't think of that as essential. A gun store. I don't know that I think of a marijuana dispensary as essential, except for the people who really do rely on it, who are glaucoma patients, cancer patients, that kind of thing, the medical part of it. Mm-hmm. But in California, and I think Colorado too, all of them, recreational or medicinal, are open.
Don't tell me that
money doesn't have something to do with that. That the powerful people have connections to that business, and shutting it down is going to hurt their pocketbooks. Don't think that's not a possibility, because I'm sure it is. Well, we will take a couple of calls. Here are numbers. I got one more bit of business to do. Let me do that quickly, then we'll get right to the phones. Window World. Window World is open for business. Not business in exactly the same way, but they are still working appointments. They are, you go to their website and you'll get the details on Window World. Window World was on the list, I might add, of essentials. Now think about that. They were considered an essential enough business, they're allowed to remain open. Now they're still having to modify the way they do everything. But they're open, and you can call them, and you can order your windows, and they can install windows, and they'll explain to you, I'm sure, when you contact them, what the limitations are. But luckily for them, they were not one of the ones that were told, you know, mandatorily, you must shut down. So Window World, still part of the show, still going strong. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com if you want to know more. Let's talk to Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm aiming to be in.
Thank you.
Frank, I'm with you on this, Sylvia Brown. Or Sylvia Brown.
Sylvia.
She, when, you know, that book that I was looking it up, but I guess a few weeks ago somebody said something about this Dean Koontz novel, Eyes of Darkness, where in that book it talked about a virus in 2020 coming and something about it being man-made or something. But at any rate, I was telling Dan that she's a real predictor by reading somebody else's quotes and stuff and then putting it in her own book. But
I didn't even realize she'd stolen the idea.
That's what I'm thinking, because, I mean, I don't know if she's even smart enough to read, but...
well, you can't ask her now because she's dead.
Well, but, the new scum replacement is Teresa Caputo. She's the reincarnation of Sylvia Brown. And she's ripping people off just the way Sylvia did.
Lady from New York or something?
Yes, the one that looks like she should be on Jersey Shore.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's her.
Kind of high-strung, crazy.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, once Sylvia croaked, she went, woohoo, I'm taking over. I'm going to step in and be the new. And I forgot where we were, and she was appearing, and sadly, I saw the sign, sold out.
Oh.
Packed the place with stupid, hopeless, I guess, desperate people who actually believe in that crap. So,
well,
I appreciate the calls.
Means, right?
Yeah. What?
You know what that means, though? That means Montel Williams is going to make a comeback.
Wow. If he did, well, that would be shocking.
He was a huge supporter of hers, of Sylvia's. That's true. Thank you, Steve.
Thank
you. Right, I can sneak Jim in here. I got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Jim. It's all yours. Welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
AM and the PM.
Thanks, Jim.
First of all, real quick, Frank, you do have a manly voice. It might not be baritone. It might not be booming and radio, you know, like the best of radio ever, but your voice is manly. I got 10 examples at your station of ones that don't have manly voices. Our boy from UK is not one of them. He's got a UK voice. He's got a UK voice, so that doesn't count. It's not manly. Anyway,
you're asking for it.
I asked for it.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I sent you an email about me being in a dental crisis, and you sent me an email back very graciously, saying sorry about, you know, Dallas Dental not being able to squeeze me in.
Right.
My dental crisis is over. I had an awesome oral surgeon, but I will be going to Ballas Dental once they open again.
Well, I got to tell you something, Jim. I hope everybody does. We got to keep these people in business once business gets cracking again. So thank you for that. I appreciated the email.
I want to thank you for the email back, really.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Bye-bye. How did the manly voices thing come?
Oh, that was something last week you were talking about, that you don't have one of those deep manly voices.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I never have. I never have.
I do.
And I know. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think anybody in here is ever mistaken for a girl. I mean, okay, we know over the phone, there are guys who make calls and go, sure, ma'am, how can I help you? And it's a guy. And he's got a real high voice. So, yeah, we don't have girls' voices. But I'd pay big money for an operation that would put Sam Elliott's vocal cords in my throat. Whew. That's the voice I'd like to have.
People always mistook Sylvia Brown for Harvey
Firestein. For Sam Elliott.
No, Harvey Firestein.
they did sound alike.
Yeah.
They sounded almost
mother,
exactly
listen,
alike.
Listen, I see your dead mother standing next to you.
As either Harvey Firestein or Sylvia Brown or both.
Yeah.
Let's go with both. All right, I'm sure John Landoff is going to check in. We're going to find out how that business is doing. And then Josh Bauman by phone. Maybe he thinks we're contagious or the school system just has him really tied up. Let's go with that one. But he'll be here next hour to help you with your tech questions. Thank you for being with us. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
We're all changing things up to stay healthy. We're here 24-7. 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. The stalemate in the Senate continues as, for the second time, a procedural vote to move forward a massive economic stimulus package aimed at dealing with COVID-19 is failing to garner the three-fifths majority needed. Maine Republican Susan Collins spoke with a motion on the Senate floor before the vote.
This is disgraceful. We do not have time. Time is not on.